We are in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. We are going to start from verse 1.
The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up. And thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel, there is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches.
We are continually studying about the Tyre. Already studied 2 chapters, this is a chapter 3. And here God is saying about this man, he is thinking that he is God. And when you think that you are a God, that means all of the people in the world, they are beneath you. That's why we hear he's thinking, he's very smart, he's very beautiful, he's very strong, having so much wisdom, and he's thinking in his mind, I'm even smarter than Daniel. And I know everything, all the hidden things of God. That's what he's thinking. He's thinking he has lots of wisdom, lots of understanding, and because of his wisdom and understanding, he got into the business. He got into trading business. And because of his business, and we learned last week, he was doing business with all kinds of different countries, and silver and gold and ivory and different kinds of stuff they were selling, and they were having all kinds of affairs and bazaars and selling stuff. The word of God says, God's lots of silver, lots of gold, lots of treasures, and lot of richness. And because of that, his heart was lifted up. Now, when the people are poor, even though they are strong and healthy, they'll act like a humble people. But the people who are rich, they act like they are proud people. They're thinking, nobody's like me. Nobody's beautiful like me. Nobody's smart like me. And they treat other people like nobody. And so there is a saying, money talks. If you have money, you'll be talking too much. And the poor people, even though they are wise and they have wisdom, but they keep quiet. The word of God said, the person who is very smart, he talks little. But this man is thinking he is very rich, he is very smart, he is very wise, and his heart is lifted up, means he is puffed up. And that's what God is saying. And once somebody saying, I am God, God is not going to allow that God's glory to be another God. There is only one God in the Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're triune one God. There are many people are confused. They are saying, we have three gods or something. Shall I pray to Father, or shall I pray to the Son, or shall I pray to the Holy Spirit? And there are people confused. But the Bible teaches Son of God is from the beginning, from eternity. The Holy Spirit is from the eternity. God the Father is from eternity. So they are from the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Son says to Father, O God. Father says to Son, O God. And the Holy Spirit is God. So we don't have three different gods. We have one God. Holy Spirit talks to you about Jesus, and the Jesus talks to you about Father. When we pray to Jesus, he takes our prayer to Father, and he is our mediator. And so this is the way the unity works. When Jesus does some miracles, that glorifies the Father, and the Father is glorified in Son. They are all equal, and our God is one God. But if somebody tried to say, he is saying he is above all other gods. Read verse 6.
Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness.
Now here is God is saying, because you said I'm God, and because you're puffed up, and you are thinking that you are smarter than anybody, and you are above all other gods, so that's the reason I'm going to send the ordinary people who are not God, but they are wicked, they are very bad people, they will come and destroy you. And I want you to protect yourself as a God and see if you can protect yourself if you are a God. Nobody kills God, right? God is there forever. They thought we'll kill Jesus and there won't be any more son. But Jesus said, nobody can kill me. I give my life and I have power to take it back. So Jesus Christ, he is eternal God. Nobody killed Jesus. Jesus gave his life for the mankind. So here the word of God is saying, you are thinking you are God, but I'm going to bring the strangers. Means the people, your friends, they respect you. But he says, I'm going to bring the strangers. They don't know you. They don't respect you. They don't know anything about you. Those strangers will come and try to destroy you. Verse 8.
They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee.
When those people will come, they will kill you, they will destroy you, and you will go in the deep down in the pit, in the sea, bottom of the sea, you will go. And at that time, if somebody comes to kill you, can you tell that person, I'm a God, you have no authority to kill me? And can that other person will be afraid of you because you are a God? He says, no. You are a human being. You are created from the dust. You have no power over God. And you can say anything, but because you say you're God, you're not going to be God. And so here he says, when you saying I'm God, I'm going to send a man. And that man, you cannot say I'm a God, and he's not going to listen to you, and he's going to kill you, he's going to destroy you, and you will go under the pit, means deep down in hell. So God is trying to say, if somebody thinking is very strong, very smart, very powerful, but if they don't have a God, they have no power. That's what the devil is doing today. The word of God said, devil is the god of this world. Now, this man was the god up there in that city or that country. He was God. Today, if you see North Korea, those people are trained to worship their leader. And so all the Koreans, North Koreans, they worship their leader and they believe their leader is God. And so the same way the Tyres people start thinking and believing he is God because he is smart, he has the wisdom, he has the money, he has the wealth, and all other people are his slaves. And so he is the best person, so nobody can kill him, nobody can destroy him. And so when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, God of this world has what? Blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So what the devil does, devil do not want you to understand who the real God is. Many people in Tyre might have confused and believe that the king of Tyre is the God. And the North Korean people thinking that person is God. The devil's idea is why he is blinding the minds of the unbeliever. Please read.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Now, what the word of God is saying, what the devil is doing, He is the blinding the mind of the unbelievers. That means if you are not a believer of Jesus Christ, if you are not a believer of God, you don't believe in a God, and if you don't believe anyone, then a devil got you. And he wants to keep it such a way that the gospel comes to you, he will not allow you to listen. Jesus Christ gave the parable about the sower sows the seed. He says the sower sows the seed. As soon as falls in the ground, the Satan comes, enemy comes and take the seed. But the point I'm making, the devil doesn't want you to believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to get salvation. You are going to get your wisdom and knowledge and power and everything what God has. The Word of God says God becomes our wisdom and our strength and our power and everything God gives to us. But the devil doesn't want us to know. And now this man was puffed up and he started thinking, I am the Lord, I am the God, I have power, I am above all other gods. And so he was so much puffed up, he thought there is none can kill me or destroy me. In our language, there is a saying, there is, if somebody says, I'm a 1 pound, there will be always 1 1/4 pound somewhere. So you cannot say, I am undefeated. You see the wrestlers, they come and they say, I'm an undefeated wrestler or boxer. Somebody comes and defeats that person. And then the other person comes and he's a world champion, and the other one comes and he defeats. And so there is not a one champion in the world. So this man was thinking he's like a god of that city. And he renounced God. I don't know if he was a circumcised man or not, but the Word of God says you will die like an uncircumcised person. Go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. Please read verse 10. I think we read 9, right?
Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty.
Now here God is saying to Ezekiel, now Ezekiel, you make lamentation a song. I think the Ezekiel might be a good singer and a songwriter. So now Ezekiel is writing a song, and this song is doesn't look like a sad, but it's a sad song. What God is trying to tell him in the song, you thinking that you are a king, you are a god, you are above all gods, you have so beauty and you have so power, but let me give an example. And that's the way the Ezekiel starts singing a song to him. And so not only to him, all the people of Tyres and whoever heard his lamentation song. In that song, he's giving the story of Lucifer, how this Lucifer was so great and he fell. He was in heaven. He was in the presence of God. And that angel was beautiful angel, singing and praising God and glorifying God. But when pride came to his heart, what happened to him? That's what God is trying to tell Ezekiel. Sing this song and let him understand what God is trying to say. Okay, before we read that, I want you to go to book of Isaiah chapter 14. And start reading from verse 13 to 15.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pits.
So now here we see, in book of Isaiah chapter 14, there also he's talking about the kings and kingdoms. And so, what devil does, when he fell, now he's using the unsaved people, the kings and authorities and power to rule over the people. That's why we say the powers and principality of the of heaven. What they're doing, take hold of the city, take hold of the country, get hold of the leader, and possess that leader, and through that leader, destroy the whole country. That's what's happened. Each and every place as you see, the leader who doesn't believe in God, the leader doesn't have any moral characters, that person will be ruled by devil. And it happened in Isaiah chapter 14, and it says how the Lucifer was very good angel and presence of God, singing and praising God. And the same example God is giving to Ezekiel and say, Ezekiel, now you are going to sing the lamentation, the song of sorrow. What happened to this angel? And it's going to happen more than that, worse to this king. Go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, starting from verse 13.
Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created.
God is trying to tell this king of Tyre through Ezekiel and saying, see the picture he's painting. Now sometimes people, they are on earth, but they puffed up and they think they are so powerful. Did you see any time in the dream you fly? In dream you think like you are a queen or you are a king and things like that. So when this Ezekiel is singing a lamentation song and he's trying to show him the picture, do you think like this angel was thinking? You have all the music going on around your throne. Sometimes you remember the King Saul became demon possessed. Then the David has to come and sing a music and song and calm him down. So that's the tradition now. Most of the kings, before they go to bed, they have to bring all the singers or dancers or some kind of drama, and they make man happy and then he'll go to bed. That's the way tradition was. And so he's trying to say, look at this Lucifer. What kind of angel he was. He was walking with us, all diamonds and all the precious stones, and he was walking around. So this man has the same thing. He had all the treasure, silver and gold and precious stones and everything, and he might be treasure, and he's walking around and say, all this mine, all this silver and all this gold and everything. We know some, if you have a lot of money in the bank, and so what you do, always look at the bank account and see how much money I have. Or if you even the putting in the treasury or putting in the bank, once in a while you take them, count if there is anybody took it or something. You're always thinking about your money. You're always thinking about silver and gold. Some people give all this jewelry, they put it in some box, and they always want to find out if there is any, everything is there. So this man might be walking around in his silver and gold and everything. So he's giving an example of this fallen angel. He can understand that exactly he's doing. Verse 14.
Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walk up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire.
Now here the word of God is saying, this angel was anointed by God. God has given him the special work, music and singing and praising and glorifying God. And God has given him a special authority, and because of his beauty, because of his power, and all the angels are listening to him and choir singing and everything. So he thought, you know, the person is singing and he tells them, sing after me, do after me, do this, conductor, music does like that, that those people singing, and he says, stop, they stop. So he thinks, I am the great man. Without me, the music cannot happen. So the same way, the Lucifer start thinking, all of these people sing, and I'm the one teaching, and if I don't do it, nobody will praise God, and nobody will sing to God, and then God will be sitting lonely, and he will need our music. That's what he might be thinking. So he rebelled against God, and one-third followed him, but two-thirds were following God. And that's what the problem was. Sometimes the people think we are majority, we can defeat somebody. But sometimes they don't know there is a silent majority. They don't come on the street and say, I'm going to vote for this man, I'm going to vote for this man. The point I'm making, the Lucifer was thinking, I will never be defeated, and those people will follow me, but he was defeated. Okay, verse 17.
Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee.
Now here again, he's talking about Lucifer. At the same time, he's talking about the king of Tyre. Because when the Lucifer was fallen from heaven, when he committed sin, God pushed him out from heaven. Now, if you go to the Revelation chapter 12 only, we'll see that Satan was cast out from heaven. But if you go to the book of Luke, chapter 10 and verse 10, I think, Jesus Christ said, chapter 10, start from verse 10.
But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not,
keep on going.
Go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you.
Okay, now here the disciples were sent to the cities and given them authority and told them to what to do. Start reading from verse 17.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Now see, these 70 disciples was given the temporary power over the demonic forces. They went, cast out the demons, so many great thing they did, and when they came back, they started rejoicing. Lord, listen, when we went, the devil also we cast down, and devil listened to us. He said, listen, important thing is your name is written in heaven. You should rejoice for that. Because I saw devil falling from heaven like a lightning speed, because when you do something wrong in the kingdom of God, God doesn't allow you to stay there and defile the heaven. As soon as devil committed sin, the word of God says God understood what he was thinking. Even before he told his other angels to follow him, God says, I found the iniquity in your heart. And God threw him from the heaven and he is to the ground. But at that time, there was no earth was created. So he was hanging in the atmosphere. As soon as the earth was created and Adam was put in there, then he comes and land on the earth. So the point I'm making, that time there was no kingdoms or nothing, and the kingdom was not belong to him. The kingdom was given to the Adam and his wife. But then when they listened to the Satan, he got the Adam's kingdom, and he became the king of this world. So here he says, I'm going to throw you in the ground before the kings, and they will see you. This is talking about the king of Tyre, verse 18. Go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 18.
Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee.
Now, here he is talking about the king. But God did not burn this devil to ashes. He will be going to the lake of fire, but he will be still alive. He will be alive forever, and he will be suffering in hell. I'll give a couple of examples. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 19 and start reading from verse 19 to 21.
And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone.
Now here we see when Jesus Christ comes, the time of Armageddon, all the enemies will be fighting against Jesus. But who was encouraging those people to fight? The false prophet and the Antichrist. So Jesus Christ comes and get hold of this Antichrist and the false prophet and put them alive in the lake of fire. Now the devil has a evil trinity, just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Devil is the god or dragon, and then Satan, his followers, is Antichrist, and then he has the helper, a false prophet. And so first of all, when Jesus Christ comes, gets hold of the Antichrist and the false prophet, put them in a lake of fire. Then the devil, who is the dragon, who is the father of them, he is still alive. And so what happened to him? He was put in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And the word of God says after 1,000 years he will be released. When after the millennium he was released, I don't have time to go in detail, but then he goes and get hold of the Gog and Magog and Russians and all other countries and comes and surround the Israeli camp, because at that time Israeli people will not be learning war or no walls or no war equipment, nothing. There will be peaceful kingdom. So he takes advantage and going and bringing all the enemies, thinking, hey, now they are in peace, let's defeat them. But as soon as it happened, the fire comes from heaven and completely burned down all the enemies. And then God takes care of the Satan. Let's read the Revelation chapter 20, verse 10.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
See, now the false prophet, Antichrist, and the devil, they will be all together alive in the lake of fire, and they will be burning for eternity, forever and ever, means they will be alive. But for this Tyre's king, he will not be alive, he will be burned to ashes in front of all other kings and all other kingdom. And that's the difference. Go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, start reading from verse 19.
All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more.
All the people, all other kingdoms, they will see. Beautiful, handsome, very smart, very rich king, thinking he was God, he's gone. And that will set the fear in other people's heart. If that great kingdom is gone, what will happen to us? So that was an example to the whole world. Just like a Lucifer, he was singing and praising God in heaven. And next day, means whenever committed sin, he fell to the ground. And now he's waiting for the eternal damnation. And the word of God already says what's going to happen to him. he will be burning there for eternity. And but here the word of God saying, this Tyre's example is given for the other kingdom and other people to check their life. If that kind of man, powerful man on earth, died and went to ashes and became nothing. So anyone trying to say, I have no fear of God, I have no fear of man, I can do anything I want, but there is only breath away. Once their breath is gone, they are dead. They go to ashes to ashes or dirt to dirt. Okay, verse 20.
Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Zidon and prophesy against it. And to say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Zidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her, and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence, and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side. And they shall know that I am the Lord.
Now here, Zidon is another city, but the God is saying, what happened to the king of Tyre? He was destroyed, but the Sidon people will be suffering with the sickness, disease, pain, and the sword. But the Tyre's king was completely destroyed, and the whole city, whole country went down the drain. And we'll be reading a little bit further. Whatever the money and the treasure and everything they had, some of the warriors might have taken something, but most of the treasure went down the pit in the sea. But these people, Sidon's people, they have disease, they had a sword and all kinds of problem. The people gave to them means they suffer a more lot. Verse 24.
And there shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them, that despised them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God.
Now, God is saying, see what happened to Tyre, see what happened to Sidon, and see surrounding all the countries, they were like a thorn in their flesh. In the beginning, God told Joshua, God told Moses, when I'm going to give you the land, you better get rid of all those people. If you keep them alive, they will be thorn in your flesh. And they didn't understand. They kept some of the people. Joshua could not get rid of them. Moses could not get rid of them. And they were until now. And then God is saying, I took care of Tyre, I took care of Sidon, and I took care of other countries. And God is telling to Israeli people, all these people who were like a thorn in your flesh, I'm going to destroy them. And when you come back, when I'm going to bring you back, all this Tyre is gone, is not going to come back. Sidon is gone, is not going to come back. But Israeli people went to exile. God will have mercy on them, and they will be brought back. Verse 25.
Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob.
See, he said, I bring Israeli people back, and all those people will see, I'll sanctify them, I will separate these people for myself. When you say sanctified, is separated. I'm going to separate my people from other nations. Because I want to show the whole world, these are peculiar people, these are the God's people, these are the chosen people, these are the blessed people. And when God's people will repent, after 8 years going to exile, I will bring you back in front of all these people. Okay, verse 26.
And they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards, yea, they shall dwell with confidence. When I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God.
God is saying, I will bring you back to your own land. You will build the houses, and you will live peaceably. Not a single nation again will start bothering you. The time is coming that not a single country will bother Israeli people. Right now, there are Muslim people like a thorn in their flesh trying to bother them, but the time is coming. When God brings all the Israeli people, they are still scattered around the world. All the people will come back, and when they come back, and Jesus Christ comes and defeats the enemy, and then the millennium starts, not a single country will bother Israeli people anymore. And that's the way this chapter finishes. And then he said, the children of Israel will know I am the Lord their God. And their chapter finished. Chapter 29, verse 1.
In the 10th year, in the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him, and against all Egypt. Speak and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers, which hath said, My river is mine own, and I have made it for myself. But I will put hooks in thy jaws, and I will cause the fish of thy rivers to stick unto thy scales, and I will bring thee up out of the midst of thy rivers, and all the fish of thy rivers shall stick unto thy scales.
This is another devil, the Pharaoh. Pharaoh thinks, he says, I have created this river, and this river is mine. That means he thinks he's a creator. And the other one, he says, I'm God. So equal, these people, they were so proud what God gave them, the all this wealth. You remember when the Israeli people were slaves to Egypt, how they told them to make all this pyramid and took the labor from them and harassed them, and they became so rich. You remember when the Israeli people were coming, God says, ask them the silver and gold and good clothes. And they said, take the silver, take the gold, but get out of our country. From that you know they had a lot of riches. And now this man, Pharaoh, have a lot of riches. And he is thinking, I am God. I created this river and nobody can destroy me. What God is saying? God is saying, you are a dragon in that water. Big dragon. When the Bible says dragon, means a Satan. Now you are a great Satan, like a dragon, and all your people like a fish in the water. But what I'm going to do, will gather together like enemies trying to kill them and pile them from each other. So they said, you will have other fishes' scale on you, means people will be piling on you, and when the enemy comes, and you will be scattered, not only water, but on the ground. Verse 5.
And I will leave thee thrown into the wilderness, thee and all the fish of thy rivers. Thou shalt fall upon the open fields. Thou shalt not be brought together nor gathered. I have given thee for meat to the beasts of the field and to the fowls of the heaven.
The word of God says, what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull you, dragon, out of the water, all your people out of the water, and will scatter in the wilderness, and enemy will destroy you with the sword, and your bodies will be falling on the ground or in the wilderness, and nobody will be there to bury you. You remember what they used to do? They used to mummify the bodies on kings and keeping. Now we have some of the bodies in our museum here. And so they spend a lot of money to mummify the body and preserve the body for thousands of years. But he says, it's not going to happen. Your bodies will be on the wilderness and all your people will die and nobody will bury them. So I will command the birds, the vultures, they come and they will eat your bodies. Verse 6.
And all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord, because they have been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. When they took hold of thee by thy hand, thou didst break and rend all their shoulder. And when they leaned upon thee, thou breakest and madest all their loins to be at a stand.
Now he's saying, You are just like a reed. Did you see any time reed? Reed is some kind of thing, but they are not strong. They lean down. You cannot lean on their reed. They will not hold you. He says, you are just like a reed to my people. They want to lean on you, but you pull them down and broke their back instead of supporting them. That's what you did, and you did not take care of my people when they were depending on you. Verse 8.
Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring a sword upon thee and cut off man and beast out of thee.
Now therefore, why therefore? You did not take care of my people. You harassed them. You broke their back. You destroyed them. That's the reason I'm going to cut you off, and the enemy will come and destroy you. If you remember, earlier chapters we learned, when God told the Israeli people, go to Babylon or stay in Israel, don't go anywhere, I will protect you. But some people said, no, we'll go to Egypt. And God said, don't go to Egypt. If you go to Egypt, I'm going to destroy Egypt. They didn't listen. They kidnapped even the Jeremiah and his assistant, and they took them to Egypt. And the God says, I'm going to destroy the Egypt. And that's what happened. Okay, verse 9.
And the land of Egypt shall be desolate and waste, and they shall know that I am the Lord, because he hath said, the river is mine, and I have made it. Behold, therefore I am against thee and against thy rivers, and I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste and desolate, from the Tower of Syene even unto the border of Ethiopia.
So what he's trying to say, because you said, I made the river, so your river will be gone, you will be destroyed, and all your borders up to Ethiopia, not a single person will be living there. You will be scattered all around the world. Okay, verse 11.
No foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast shall pass through it, neither shall it be inhabited 40 years.
Now, what will happen to your country? You will be scattered everywhere in the world, and not a single beast or animal will walk in that land, or you will be walking in the land. How many years? 40 years. There will be nobody living in Egypt. Can you imagine? Great city, great pyramid, great everything. But they have to leave everything and run for their life everywhere. And they could not come back for 40 years to their land. So this is only God can do. Sometimes he said, this is my house, this is my car, this is my thing. But time comes, you have to leave everything and run for your life. Okay, verse 12.
And I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities among the cities that are laid waste shall be desolate 40 years. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them through the countries. Yet thus saith the Lord God, at the end of 40 years will I gather the Egyptians from the people whither they were scattered.
I don't know why God did this. Maybe God has some purpose. All other countries they destroyed, and they are not there anymore. But God says, after 40 years, I will allow you to come back, gather together and come back in your country. But I will not make you any more strong country, and you will be not able to defeat other surrounding country under you. You will be like a small country, but you will be not be greater. You remember what happened few years ago, that Muslim Brotherhood took control of Egypt. We are a good people, and you are our country, our president, and everybody believed in them, and they got the Egypt. After they got Egypt, they called president and say, we need fighter plane, we need some tanks, and all of these things. And I was thinking, what the people are going to do? What their idea was? Destroy the Israel. And our government gave them the tank and gave them the fighter plane and everything, knowing that these people are going to use this against Israel.
And I will bring again the captivity of Egypt, and will cause them to return into the land of Pathros, into the land of their habitation, and they shall be there a base kingdom. It shall be the basest of the kingdoms, neither shall it exalt itself any more above the nations, for I will diminish them, that they shall no more rule over the nations. And it shall be no more the confidence of the house of Israel, which bringeth their iniquity to remembrance when they shall look after them. But they shall know that I am the Lord God.
Now see what God is saying here? He's saying when they come back, they are scattered, they will come back, but they will be not able to have dominion over other countries. This is God's word. And that's why I said, when this Muslim leader start convincing our leaders, give us the tank and give us the plane and we will overcome these Israeli people, but God says, you will never be able to dominate another country. And that's why they were not able to do it. What happened? They got fight with their own people, and the military people defeated that man, putting him in a jail, and now the military is running the Egyptian country. So the point I'm making, what God says, it works. They thought, we are going to destroy Israel, but God says, I defeated you once, I allowed you to be alive for 40 years, scattered all around the world, I told you to go back to your country, but never be able to defeat other country and bring other country under you. And that's what happened, and today Egyptians are not ruling any other countries. Verse 17.
And it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to serve a great service against Tyrus. Every head was made bald, and every shoulder was peeled. Yet had he no wages, nor his army for Tyrus, for the service that he had served against it. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take her multitude, and take her spoil, and take her prey, and it shall be the wages for his army.
Okay, now here God is saying, God sent the army to Tyre, and they were not able to take any loot because everything went down the drain. And God's saying to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, you know what? You went there, destroyed this Tyre and all the enemies, and you did not get anything. But now, when you go to Egypt and destroy the Egypt, all the loot, all the money, all the treasure is belong to you. I'm going to give you as a gift because you listened to me and defeated the Tyre. I didn't give you anything. You didn't get anything in return. But now this is your wages. This is your price. You defeat the Egyptians and all the loot is yours. And how many years God told them to repent or understand what God was going to say? He said, you'll be there 40 years and you will be destroyed and your bodies will be falling on the ground and nobody will be able to bury you and all these things. 17 years in between time God gave. But we never saw Egyptian coming and repenting and asking God, oh God, I'm sorry, I'm not the God of river. I did not create a river. I want to humble myself. Didn't do anything. After the 17 years later, he said, okay, now Nebuchadnezzar, you go and defeat these people and destroy these people and all the loot and all the money and all the treasure is belong to you. Okay, verse 20.
I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor wherewith he served against it, because they wrought for me, saith the Lord God. In that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel to put forth, and I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am the Lord.
Now hear the word of God is saying, Nebuchadnezzar, he will bring the Egyptian people, will be defeated, all the treasures and everything. They will get it, this Nebuchadnezzar. But time will come. When 80 years finishes, I will raise the horn in that country where in the Babylonian place, when the Israeli people will be there, God says, I'm going to raise the horn there. Means my Israeli people will not be destroyed in that country. I'm going to bring the remnant out of that. And the salvation will come to Israeli people. Read the Luke chapter 1, verse 69.
And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
See, Here the word of God is saying, God has raised the horn in the house of David. And if you read the Matthew chapter 1, verses 1, then here is saying, Jesus Christ is the son of David and son of Abraham. Jesus Christ comes in the David's family. So what God promised to Israeli people, God fulfilled. Shall we rise? We are going to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Give us grace to be humble in the hand of God. I know you have started a good work in us, and you are going to complete it. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.